Ever wonder how our cells like know which amino acids to string together to build proteins?
It's like a language with like a 3 billion year old history.
It really is.
And today,
yeah,
we're diving into some seriously groundbreaking theories about how that language, the genetic code itself, came
to be. It's a genetic code. Yeah. Okay, so most people assume that the genetic code evolved gradually, right?
Right.
Small changes over time.
Small changes, yeah. But the research we're looking at today throws a curveball into that idea.
A total curveball. So we are diving into these papers by Nesterov, Mueller and their team. And they are proposing that something much more dramatic happened to give us the genetic code we see today. They call it the combinatorial fusion cascade. And trust me, it is as wild as it sounds.
It's a pretty bold claim. They're suggesting that instead of a slow evolution, the code we know today is the result of a series of major mergers between simpler, earlier codes.
Okay.
Imagine it like a cellular showdown where only the fittest codes survive.
Okay, so how does that work exactly? I'm looking at their papers here, CFC and CFR, and they start with this idea of life beginning with just pairs of amino acids, not even the full 20 we see in proteins today.
Right, just pairs. And each pair had its own very basic code using single letters instead of the three-letter codons we have now.
Right.
It's fascinating to think about those early stages.
So instead of a whole alphabet, you've got like two letters to work with. How do you even begin to build something complex from that?
That's where this whole fusion idea comes into play. These amino acid pairs and their simple codes, they didn't just sit around. They started interacting, combining with other pairs, and merging their codes together.
So it's like a high-stakes game of genetic Tetris.
Exactly. And just like in Tetris, some combinations are more successful than others.
Right.
The winners of these mergers, the dominant ones, got to keep the original codes.
Okay.
The losers, well, they had to adapt, taking on new codons in the process.
So over time, this battle of the codes led to the standard genetic code we see in every living thing on Earth.
That's the gist of their argument. And what's really interesting is how this model explains some of the quirks we still see in the code today, like why some amino acids have way more codons than others.
Like leucine, right? It's got six codons.
Exactly.
Always seemed a little greedy to me.
Nesterov-Mueller's model suggests that leucine might have been a big winner in those early fusion events, holding onto its original codons and even picking up a few extras along the way.
Wow. It's not just leucine though, right?
Right.
This whole fusion idea, it helps explain some of the weirdness we see in the genetic code of mitochondria, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mitochondria. Those little powerhouses inside our cells, they've got their own, slightly different genetic code.
Right.
And this fusion model suggests that those differences aren't just random quirks. They could be remnants of those ancient pre-fusion codes.
So my mitochondria are like little time capsules carrying echoes of those early codes. That's mind-blowing. And speaking of mind-blowing, these papers get even wilder. They talk about the possibility of identifying those lost amino acids, the ones that got edged out during the fusion process. Could we actually recreate them?
It's a fascinating thought experiment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like piecing together a lost language from a few scattered fragments. They also propose this really intriguing concept called kissing proto-tRNAs.
Okay. Kissing proto-tRNAs. You definitely don't hear that every day. What is that all about?
So tRNAs, those are the molecules.
Hmm?
They carry amino acids to the ribosome where proteins are assembled.
Right.
And in this fusion model, Nesterov-Mueller's team suggests that early tRNAs, these proto-tRNAs, were much simpler. Basically, hairpin-shaped RNA molecules.
Hairpins, like those things you used to fold out of paper in school.
Exactly. And the kissing refers to how these hairpin loops might have physically interacted, bringing those early amino acid pairs and their simple codes together.
Okay.
It's a really elegant way to envision how those initial mergers might have happened on a molecular level.
I'm picturing these little RNA hairpins meeting up for a kiss and sparking a whole chain of events that ultimately led to, well, us, like a microscopic love story with huge implications.
It's a compelling narrative.
Yeah.
But it's important to remember that this is a very new and controversial theory. It challenges a lot of traditional thinking about how the genetic code came about.
Right. Not everyone is ready to rewrite the story of life just yet. So what are the other explanations out there? What do the doubters say?
Well, there are plenty of alternative hypotheses about how the genetic code arose, for example. Some researchers support this idea of a natural circular code, focusing on how the code might have evolved to be more resistant to errors.
So less about dramatic mergers and more about building a really robust system from the ground up.
Precisely. Others are looking at the structure of the ribosome itself for clues, arguing that its physical architecture might be the key to understanding the code's origin.
So it's still an open question. This fusion cascade is just one piece of the puzzle. But whether or not it turns out to be the whole story, it's definitely gotten people thinking about the genetic code in a whole new light. And it's not just about understanding the past, right? This whole discussion about the genetic code has some pretty big implications for the future, too.
Absolutely. If this fusion cascade model turns out to be right, it could change the way we think about engineering life.
Like, if we can understand how the code itself came to be, maybe we can write our own versions.
Exactly. Imagine being able to design organisms from scratch with custom genetic codes tailored for specific purposes. Want a bacteria that can break down plastic pollution? Or a yeast that produces a rare medicine?
Wow.
Understanding the origin of the genetic code might be the key.
That's some next-level bioengineering. And it gets even more mind-boggling when you think about the search for life beyond Earth.
Right. If this fusion cascade model holds up, it means that our genetic code, the one we find in every living thing on Earth, might not be the only one out there.
Whoa. Other planets with life forms using totally different genetic codes. Alien life 2.0.
It really is. This research has opened up a whole new set of questions and possibilities, and it's exciting to see where the science goes next.
So we've got ancient code mergers, molecular kissing, and the potential for rewriting the code of life itself. It's been a wild deep dive into the world of the genetic code, a world that's a lot more complex and surprising than most people realize.
It certainly makes you appreciate the elegance and ingenuity of this system that underpins all life as we know it.
It really does. And on that note, we'll wrap up our deep dive for today. Hopefully this has given you a whole new perspective on the elegant, intricate code that makes life tick.